Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Talking to some of the best voices in Nashville. This is One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Also brought to you by
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Bass Tire Company, Sam's Sports Place and Sports Grill, Holiday Inn Express Nashville Airport, Valentino's Ristorante, and Sir Speedy of Music City.
One-on-One with Greg Pogue. Broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Now, here's Greg Pogue.
Good Saturday morning. How you doing? Hope you're having a great, great holiday season. Merry Christmas and all the best in 2026 as he opens the show by spilling his Red Bull sugar-free all in his lap. Look at this.
Yep. I can attest he did. Did you get enough in to get you woken up, though?
Yeah. Your phone's on over there.
On?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like,
by the way, this is 101 with Greg Pogue. I thought we'd get to it. Presented by Freeman Webb. We are at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. And a regular here just happened to, and that there is a truth, he's a regular here, but just happened to stumble by
Absolutely.
This morning. Longtime Tennessean sports writer, Tennessee Sports Writers Association Hall of Famer, fellow Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Get that plug in. And 2022 Tennessee Sports Writer of the Year in the entire state. What's up, buddy? Mike Organ. Oh, by the way, Mike Organ.
I am good. I am glad to be here. And I was told to ask you about the weather and especially the wind direction from Dan Lang.
You know, that's a running joke, but it's actually Nick Guerrero, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he does the games with me, football, you know, TSU games. And I always have right before kickoff, you want to give the direction of the wind, the temperature, right?
Right.
And everything, the conditions. And they beat me to it last time. And then he just jumped right out there. And I said, hey, that's my job. So Dan Lang works in D.C., does the TSU ESPN Plus. Good dude.
Great guy. I got a question about that. When do you give the wardrobe rundown, the black pants with white pinstripes?
Right before kickoff. Right.
See, I've noticed that's changed now to where they're doing it like others are doing it like in the second and third quarter.
Well, I think the people, if they're watching, already know. And, I mean, don't you want to set the stage?
Absolutely. That's why I'm bothered by the people that are doing it later into it now.
Should do it. I do it before kickoff of each half.
Okay.
I reset everything.
Maybe that's what I'm hearing.
If you're hearing it, you know, the second half.
Okay.
You know, and once again, I do it to start the second. So you got to figure the churn rate.
Right.
Is when people come in and then leave and then come back in and come back. Sort of like this show. The churn rate is very high on this show.
But you're not saying that you're not confirming that they have the same uniforms
on. That's what
they have not changed uniforms.
Yeah, this is what I guess I could say that. Well, remember what I told you they was wearing the kickoff? Oh, they still got the things on. Oh, well, usually on 101, we don't have repeat offenders in the same calendar year, but Mike was on earlier this year. All I had to do was say, Roy's Meat Service, and you were here.
Yeah, I was probably going to be here anyway.
Yeah. this is not the biographical thing, nature of this show, if there is a nature of the show, but more we're just going to do a year in review, a State of the Union. Combined between you and I, how many years have we covered this city in Middle Tennessee?
I got 40. What do you got?
Four.
We're approaching 100 years,
80,
a full century.
What's 80? That would be 45?
Yeah, because that's the year I graduated
here, 80. It's been 40, 85, 86.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, for me. I'm just trying to do my math in the, you know, Kentucky.
We started right around the same time because we went head-to-head with you at the Banner, me at the Tennessean on high schools, and then MTSU.
In the Vandy.
And Vanderbilt. And then you went on to cover the big leagues
Kicking and screaming, I might add. I was the prep editor, and I went kicking and screaming to the Vanderbilt beat, and I was the Vanderbilt beat writer and went kicking and screaming. They show you, you know, you're going to cover the NFL. Well, that's fine. I'll be the beat writer for the Oilers, Titans, whatever. And then because of that, they came, so you're now covering the NHL.
Yeah.
Because you're the pro writer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and I said, I can't spell NHL. What the hell are you talking about? Well, I didn't see you. You know, I was the beat writer. You know, people don't – I was the beat writer for the Predators and never covered a Predators game.
Is that right?
Because they turned it over to someone else. I forgot who followed me in that. I know Mark McGee.
Mark McGee, it's a shame he was gone by then because he was a – big time mode.
But I covered all the expansion, everything up until that, but I didn't cover the games.
Yeah. You know, Jim Wyatt for us, who's now the Titans senior beat writer for the Titans, he went straight from high schools to the Titans.
Oh, I know.
He never made that intermediate.
And good
move.
For him that he made the Sports Writers Hall of Fame this
year.
Yeah. And then
his dad was still alive.
And Judge Wyatt passed away
not long after, a couple of months later.
So Mike Oregon with us, 101 with Greg Pogue. Obviously, we're just spitballing.
Yes.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Did have a good Christmas. Yeah.
I see the picture of the dog and the cat.
Yep. They had the cat's first Christmas. So she had a good Christmas. And opening gifts that I hadn't even gotten around to opening them.
Really? Well, it must be nice. Just have them lined up down the hall. With me, I mean, grandbaby just turns two, and that changes my world. You know? You
and Joe Dubin with the grandbabies.
I know. So where do you want to start? Let's start with this. Tennessean just named the Sports Person of the Year. You do it every year. I don't think there's hardly anyone can argue with Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt. Not only what he's done, I don't like superlatives necessarily, but I don't think any one athlete has impacted Vanderbilt athletes any more than he has.
In
the history of Vanderbilt athletics.
I don't
name
even,
it.
I mean, Clyde Lee. They had to rebuild the stadium, gymnasium for him and built bleachers, but media wasn't, you know, you couldn't have the kind of impact back then that you can have today with social media. So, no, Clyde would be close. Jay Cutler, not even close. Jay Cutler, you know, I think Jay won 13 games, something like that. People talk about, you know, is Pavia's not as good a quarterback as Jay Cutler. Like I said, Jay Cutler won 13 games. I mean, you got to make everybody around you better, and Pavia makes everybody around him better, including defense and special teams. Cutler didn't do that.
Well, and he put eyeballs on it that had never been on it before.
Absolutely.
Whether you like him, he's the polarization of his personality, right? You either love him or hate him if you're a Vanderbilt. Now, I'm sure – okay, let's talk about the Heisman thing and the reaction after that. Is that just kid being kid, or is there some knucklehead in there?
There's some knucklehead in there, but I'm going to say this. In my time, I can't remember a bigger Vanderbilt story than the reaction to his Heisman comment.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge story. And it's still, I mean, think of some of the people that are commenting on that, because he said all voters. And that shows his impact. And he said it in our story when we named him the Sports Person of the Year with Paul Skrbina. He said, I now understand my platform. He didn't even know what kind of platform he had until he did that. So that's part of the knucklehead thing was – but you can't blame him. I mean, how do you know what kind of platform you have until you get that kind of reaction?
Yeah, but you've got to have some sense of where you are, right? And you just hope, I don't know, professionally, who knows, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't fit.
He does not. But like I tell people all the time, I would never bet against this kid for anything. No matter what he said he was going to do, I would never bet against this kid. Tebow, you know, you had hesitation about him, but I still thought Tebow might find his way in for a few more years than he did. But with this kid, there's just no telling. I mean, can he move to a different position? Who knows? I mean, everybody talks about how small he is. Well, he's small for a quarterback. I mean, if he can make it quarterback.
Well, you look at, Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
There are guys. Example, Drew Brees. There are example of smaller quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But it's – but Vanderbilt fans had to cringe a little bit on the comments because of how that school wants to project itself.
But he wasn't that image before. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't Vanderbilt even before he said that. So, you know, and it took breaking away from that image to get where they are. They needed a little bit of that.
Yeah.
They need a little
some attitude.
Edge. Yeah.
And it coincides with just wherever. And obviously you and I have followed Vanderbilt many, many years. Overall athletics right now is, I mean, the job, you know, that Candace Lee has done, I did not know if that was the best of hires or not at the time.
Yeah.
I like Candace. I've known her a long time, even, you know, and right after she got the job, her and my good buddy Teresa Phillips, I took them to dinner and just to congratulate them.
I remember you doing that.
And I didn't know.
Well, yeah, she was the easy hire because she had been trained under David Williams.
Yeah.
And I was afraid, that was my hesitation, was, yeah, she was trained under David, and she's just going to keep that lineage, that kind of, the train headed in that direction. And she didn't. I mean, she changed. She did completely different from what David was doing. So that's been I've known her, I covered her when she was playing basketball there. And so I've been extremely happy with what she's done because she didn't follow behind David.
No, and Mike Oregon with us, 101 with Greg Pogue. This is called a reset. 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville.
Do you need to say what I'm wearing again?
You know, yeah, and I can tell you which direction you're facing. Then you also got to do that going left to right, right to
I
left.
I never have understood that either.
Well, because you're okay. All right, let's take a 20. All right, let's say they pitch it to the left side. Well, you're trying to envision, well, is the left side, as I'm seeing it, going to the top or to the – which way are they facing to the – and then you go the near side or the far side.
So I'm looking at it through your eyes.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying I'm calling it left to right.
Okay.
The offense is going left to right. And then I got it out to the right flat. You know it's to the near side.
Right.
Okay.
So it's better than saying east to west or north to south because nobody knows.
No, and most end zones are north to south.
Yeah.
Right.
Except for this one, right?
No.
Is ours?
Nissan Stadium? No, it's north to south.
Okay.
Yeah. Because everybody, you know.
You're right, yeah.
Well, I know I'm right.
I know you're right.
I've done many, many football games in there.
What about the new one?
I have no idea. It doesn't really need to be any direction because of it's indoor.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so they do north to south because the sun sets east to west.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
And now we got that figured out. Back to Candace.
Let me say this. Candace, in our discussions of Sports Person of the Year, it wasn't a slam dunk, to borrow a basketball term, for Pavia. There was discussion about Candace because without Candace, does Clark Lee come? Without Clark Lee, does Pavia come? So, obviously, Clark Lee was also in the discussion.
I would actually put Clark as the runner-up, and I don't even know that I wouldn't put him in the one hole because of Clark Lee, there's no Diego Pavia, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's close. And I'm glad we didn't do a tie. I mean, we didn't, you know what I mean? But you could have done a tie, Clark Lee slash Pavia.
Yeah, that's
but
sort
the three of,
of
them – are just phenomenal. And now Byington, what Byington's doing with
let's talk about that. Because I touched on it a few moments ago. Football in the national championship discussion, if you would have fallen out of a time capsule that was buried 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
You'd have thought you landed on Mars.
Yeah, you know, and put me back in. Basketball, what Mark Byington has done, NCAA tournament last year, they're net right now. What are they? Got one
six.
Loss?
They're six.
They've got
the
one loss?
Yeah. No,
they're undefeated. That's right. They're undefeated.
They're sixth in the net. I don't know what they are in the top 25, 12th or something like that.
The net's all that matters. And then
women's basketball.
What Shea Ralph has done, and you've got the best player in the country, theoretically, in Michaela Blakes, right?
You've got such a contrast with the women's and men's basketball teams, in my eyes, in that you've got the best player in the country on the women's team, and then the men's team, you've just got a collection of really good top-level players. He's done, you know, to follow Jerry Stackhouse and do what he's done has been so impressive.
And the thing that, and even Clark Lee admitted it a few years ago, Vanderbilt was slow to the NIL.
Oh, yeah.
And the transfer portal.
They weren't going to participate at one point.
And now you can have an Indiana playing for the national championship, the losingest college football program of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
On that level.
Yep.
And now, so they've learned to navigate. And
they caught up in a hurry.
Well, and, you know, one of the proudest moments of my career is the line that I coined: Vanderbilt has selective poverty. They can be rich when they want to be, and they can be poor. Well, we don't have the money to do that, but we can go spend $28 million by Legends Golf Course.
You remember Joby Wyatt with the every barrel on its own bottom? He made every department support itself. So, yeah, you would have thought that the athletic department just was about to get washed up with no funds, no funding. And
well, Gee
comes in and wipes it out.
Just blows it up.
No more. We're all intramurals. And now they I think they have the –
which is bizarre.
Yeah, that was crazy. And David Williams was a part of that, which is amazing. Now, he didn't do it. He was put in charge of it. He was the chancellor over intramurals and NCAA, basically.
Yeah, Vanderbilt net right now in men's basketball, 6th in the country, 12-0. They're 3-0 in quad one.
Yeah, I put something on social media that they were 6th in the net. I do. I keep up with all the teams.
Tennessee is 25.
Yeah, and Belmont's 50.
And we'll talk about Casey Alexander and that start here in a little while.
But I had a guy ask me on Facebook, I think it was. It was on social media. Has Vanderbilt beaten a top 25 team? And obviously he's not a Vanderbilt fan. They beat SMU, I know.
Well, they're in quad one, which is 1 through 50.
Right.
They're 3-0.
And again, like you said earlier, the top 25 doesn't matter anymore.
No. All right. Hey, Mike Oregon hanging out with us, 1-on-1 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. Brandon Bigsby producing today. Good to have Brandon along back in the 94.9 studios. We'll take a break. More coming up right here. 1-on-1 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, hanging out at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. We are live because my pants are still wet from spilling I don't know how you can spill a whole thing of Red Bull on you, but I did. You got what, Mountain Dew?
I
don't drink coffee.
I have the Joe Williams Diet Mountain Dew.
Joe's actually come and done this show before. Yeah.
Has he really?
Yeah.
He should have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe's institution in this
Well,
town.
You know, and Jeff Roy, there, all the support he does of racing anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Jeff
Roy can't say no.
Yeah, exactly. But you shouldn't have, Joe. I remember when Joe had a 6-hour show on whatever WSM radio was.
Yeah.
6 hours a day in a daily show. I mean, imagine that. Oh, I used to feel so sorry for Joe. And he did it by himself.
Mike Oregon is our guest this morning, just hanging out, putting the cap on 2025, talking about 2026. Music City Bowl, Tuesday, 4:30, Illinois and Tennessee.
Be very interested to see the average attendance for Tennessee in the Music City Bowl is 68,000. So basically a sellout in their three previous trips there. Very interested to see if that's the case. I think they'll still do have a large crowd because so many come to that game that don't get to go to Knoxville. So many from Middle Tennessee and even West Tennessee will come just because they don't get to see them because it's so far to travel across the state.
I think, you know, this is such a notorious walk-up market.
Yes.
And it's going to be like, what, 32 degrees on Tuesday, 35. So. That may be a factor. I'd love to play it today when it's 70.
Yeah. But the relevance bowl games now has dropped off significantly. And, you know, Scott Ramsey is a wonderful guy. He's done a tremendous job for this city. He's got to get the Music City Bowl in the college football playoff when it expands, if he has that opportunity. Expansion may mean playing more games at home sites because they're so happy with the way that's going so far. But if you're a bowl game, you need to be in the college football playoffs, and we're seeing that more this year than ever before.
Yeah, I'd like to be, you know, because the 6 they have are going to stay, right?
Yeah.
The peach, the cotton, the rose, the orange, the fiesta, and the sugar.
Sugar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I think you could add, and the indoor facility, obviously the Dome Stadium is going to would be an allure, maybe the national champion. Can you imagine what this is going to be like when that thing's done? Oh. We're going to have a Super Bowl here, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I know we are. I know. We'll have a Super Bowl before we have a national championship. I wouldn't be surprised if we get the next round of Super Bowls, which I think starts in 29, the 29 to 32 window.
Final four?
Final four, yes. Mm-hmm. Men's or women's.
Yeah, we've had women's.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'd have men's there.
Whatever
the top wrestling.
Yeah, you took. Yeah, and Chase McCabe could tell me it's what SummerSlam or is that the Burst?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I just did a story though on Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett sat right there about a month.
I know he did. Yeah, you know. And because I was looking for Jeff, and I couldn't get in touch with him for a couple of days, and then he shows up here, and I'm like, I would have gone down there and talked to him.
But how? You know, I'm really disappointed that you didn't ask, because if you and I. And we'll throw Plaster in there as well because we're three old farts, okay?
Yeah.
Is that – can you say that on the radio?
No.
Old? You
no.
can't say old
no,
on the radio.
Old,
okay.
No.
Just three farts. And so between our contacts and our phone –
No, I had his number. He just wasn't answering.
Oh, okay.
And he had told me – I went to a pro wrestling event at Bridgestone one time about – 4 or 5 years ago. Tommy Dees was the sports editor of the Tennessean at the time, and Tommy Dees? Yes, Tommy Dees was the sports editor.
That's right, he did come back.
And he's a huge wrestling fan, so he took the department to one of the Summer Slams or whatever was there. And I texted or I called Jeff and I said, "Hey, come up to the Tennessee or whatever box we were in and our staff would love to see you." Then he called me 3 days later. He goes, "Hey, you left me a message." He goes, "Never call me." He said, "Always text."
Text.
So I'd been texting him, but yeah, and he hadn't texted back. It had only been a couple of days.
Actually,
and then I see that he was here on that Saturday.
Actually, he's been advising AF1, Arena Football 1, on our digital
plan. I did not know that.
You know, because of all the world he's in, not only with AIW, but, you know, that product, but all the digital footprint.
He owns a minor league baseball team,
yeah,
right?
Up in Illinois,
yeah,
right?
Which is kind of like the Bananas. We talked about that a little bit. Is they do off-the-wall stuff.
Well, so I hooked him and Fisher up, and now he's with, you know, because Jeff is the commissioner of the league as well as the majority owner of the Cats. By the way, give me a plug. F&M Bank Arena, the response up there has been amazing. We're going to have – there's six home games. We're having seven. They gave us just the way the schedule worked because of our number of teams. We have seven home games up there. We sold around 1,000 tickets in 4 hours on that select-a-seat day.
And that was a record, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Record. Yeah, is a record for the league.
Oh,
in
really?
In one day. And we spent zero marketing dollars.
That's amazing.
Nothing.
That is amazing.
Just social medias and then obviously partnering with F&M Bank Arena and Janine Lalick and Tony Fanetta up there. They run the arena.
I'm so glad y'all hung in there because there were some dark days during that time.
Oh, yeah. And it is not as much municipal auditorium. It's, you know, but the fit for F&M Bank Arena, the size.
Perfect.
That's the city. You know, in Nashville, we're a small fish in a big pond.
Right.
Okay? Over there, we are the pro sports team.
Right.
And with the city, and that city's exploding.
Yeah.
I mean, but enough of that. One-on-one with you. Mike Organ is our guest this morning, Tennessean sports writer.
Where are we with our list?
We've chipped off Vandy. Let's do high schools, okay? I know how involved you are with that. I know the TSSAA cannot fight the NIL. They cannot fight the portal transfer because now they're thinking about, what, a one-time deal and wherever you want to go. And I don't like it, but I don't think there's anything they could do to stop it because anybody that challenges gets their butt beat in court.
Yeah, yeah. That's just like with NIL on the collegiate level too, where everybody's always saying they got to reel this in and put Nick Saban in charge as the commissioner and put some limits. You can't do that. There's a Supreme Court ruling that will wipe out anything you try to do.
Yeah, unanimous.
Unanimous, and the opinion written, I can't remember which justice wrote it, but the opinion written beyond that was, going forward, this court will rule in favor of the athlete making as much money as they possibly can. So not only did they just – they really put an explanation.
Well, their own greed caused it. Okay?
Yeah, they could have done. They could have taken care of this years ago and said, "All right, let's pay them. Depending on what each school makes, let's pay a percentage, you know, to the athletes." And yeah, they could have done this.
Well, the one that got me is Nick Saban. You're talking about arrogance. Nick Saban, he's testifying in front of Congress and for not to pay student athletes their NIL. Right.
Yeah, right.
And he's making $10 million a year, base.
I know.
Base.
I know.
Shut up.
I know. Where would you be without these athletes? So they missed that. But going back to high school.
Yeah, let's talk about high school.
I mean, it's in high schools. Yeah. People don't realize, a lot of people don't realize that. But there's one private school around here that I know 3 years ago had three athletes on $100,000 a year NIL deals. And that was 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, and the thing, look at Jared Curtis at Nashville Christian. Jeff Brothers managed that so well.
Yeah.
He could have gone anywhere he wanted to in the country.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Chattanooga Baylor will have him down there making six figures tomorrow if he was still eligible.
I've never been as surprised as I was that he finished out his career, his high school. Because he was a huge splash as a sophomore, like you're saying.
I saw him as a freshman. Unbelievable. Yeah.
And he could have gone over the next 3 years, he could have gone anywhere. And for him to stay there, that Brothers needs a huge congratulations
for that. And you want to know the Pavia effect?
Oh, Pavia recruited him too.
Okay. Well, Jared Curtis or even Owen Cabell, Cabell rather, the CPA receiver that flipped from Alabama to Vanderbilt, that doesn't happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
thanks to Nate Bargatze for recruiting Jared Curtis as well and promising to put him in a movie, even though he's not sure if that's against the rules or not. Nate said, I'll put you in a movie but I don't know if that's legal or not. But I don't think there are any rules anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but Jared Curtis, I don't even think we talked about that. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge high school story there.
You look at the bowl games everywhere. Indiana, the receiver up there. I mean, there are people from around here. I mean,
Charlie Becker.
Yeah, Charlie Becker, right?
Yeah. I got a story coming out on Charlie Becker soon in the next few days, couple of days.
When will that drop? Always like that. When will it drop?
Well, you can't say publish anymore.
Let's go football. Brentwood Academy's return. Of course, the legacy of Carlton Flatt there forever and ever and ever. And they jumped into the NIL pool in a sort of stinky way, if you want to call it like it is. They went, 0-10?
Yeah.
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 And then Paul Wade comes over from DCA, Bennett Ensworth, with Ricky Bowers over there. Brentwood Academy's back.
Yeah, yeah. And Paul Wade, proud DuPont graduate like myself.
Mm-hmm.
He was Brad Gaines' center, if you want to know a little insider information. Brad Gaines was a quarterback. He was Brad Gaines' center. And then Brad moved to running back? No, Brad stayed at quarterback, I think. So anyway, Paul Wade did a marvelous job this year. And it was, from what I saw, I didn't watch every game, but it was the only competitive game in the championships. Was there any other? The others were just blowouts because we've got far too many divisions now.
Well, yeah, nine.
Nine.
Nine. Yeah, Oakland and what Kevin Creasy's done there, they are in the portal world.
Yeah.
You know, and it's legal.
Yeah.
And I like Kevin. He's a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, did it at Trousdale, now what he's doing at Oakland every year now.
Yep, he's a great guy.
Yep.
And like you said, Paul's a great guy. I thought, you know, they had a chance to win that football game. They got all the way down into the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to see them, and they'll be back. You're right. They are back, I think. They'll be going forward.
Before we take a break, a week from Monday night, the FCS title game, Montana State and Villanova. Correct?
Yes, teams that are different from what we've seen the last 8 or 9 years.
And Montana State will bring – I already know – maybe I shouldn't say this, I'm not, but I was talking to Todd Rodermel, our buddy at the Omni Hotel. Uh-huh. They've had over 500 reservations just from Montana State.
Is that right? A lot of people were disappointed North Dakota State didn't get in because, you know, they were here recently with TSU and
I went up and saw them in Fargo last year.
Yeah, you rode up there with JT and the 18-wheeler.
No.
And but You got one of those teams from up there, so be thankful. You got one of those Northwest
teams. Oh, they're
teams.
In that little ecosystem there of Montana, Montana State.
Yeah.
TSU went to Montana. I've been to Montana State. You know, up the Cats been up in Montana three times the last. I've never been to Montana in my life. I've been three times the last 2 years.
I went with the Vanderbilt women 1 year.
Yeah.
And in the NCAA tournament.
But North Dakota, South Dakota, that.
Montana, Montana State, all them.
Yep.
And none of them want to go up to a division, even though I asked the North Dakota State AD at the Vanderbilt at the TSU game. He said, well, nobody's inviting us either because nobody wants them up. They don't, you know, they'll bring up some, you know, the teams that can't beat anybody, but they don't, you know.
And their rosters stay, and they get drafted. I mean, what do you have, Peter Skoronski here?
Yeah.
I mean, the quarterbacks that have come through, up through there. Mike Organ is our guest, one-on-one with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman Webb. We are at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. But that's a feather in the cap. It's a three-year deal?
No, two-year deal.
Two-year deal, okay.
They want to keep it here for good.
Yeah.
And
I know it was in Frisco, Texas for many years.
15 years, I think. And before that, it was in Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, right.
So it's back in Tennessee where you've got seven FCS teams, which is good. Would love to have seen Tennessee Tech make it, but Tennessee Tech's not up to that level yet. I saw that game where they got beat by Montana. But I think we have a great shot at keeping it. And this will be very telling. And it's kind of good that you don't have one of the most recent powers in it, because this will tell really, you know, how much interest there is if some of these other two teams.
Well, it's sort of like the Music City Bowl. Well, you know, with Tennessee, you know, that's going to come naturally and everything, or Kentucky. But if you have like a Mississippi State, Illinois, you're dependent upon the local support. Where do you think there will be local support for the FCS championship game?
I wonder.
I hope so.
I'd love to see 5,000 walk-ups or 5,000, you know, locals. I think that would be a number that you could shoot for. With that, you'd probably end up with about 15,000. I'm hoping for a crowd of 15,000.
I think that's
a low bar.
Yeah, I do too. Because Montana State, I don't know what Villanova does.
Yeah,
football.
That's, you know, football,
who knows?
That's a basketball school. Yep. But I'm hoping for 15. I'm looking forward to it. They're doing some things around it. They're going to have a tailgate for both teams. They're going to have a combine for FCS, mm-hmm. only FCS, in conjunction with the NFL. And they're going to do it at Vanderbilt's indoor the day before. So they're going to be a lot of schools will have interest because some of their top players will be coming in for that combine. So they're doing a lot of ancillary things that I think will help.
All right. We need to take a break. 101 with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman Webb, Mike Organ, longtime sports writer, Hall of Fame sports writer for the Tennessee, and our guest right here on 94.9 The Fan.
You're listening to One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Searching demons. As a matter of fact, my daughter got me a Demas gift card.
Really?
$100 gift card. You know why?
Why?
Because she gets, it's contingent on me taking her and her husband. She asked me what I want. I said, give me a Demas gift card, Demas's gift card, and I'll just take everybody.
So she got you a $30 gift certificate.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they get the other.
They get the other. I say, that's the gift that keeps on giving. Mike Organ is our guest, 101 with Greg Pogue here at Roy's Meat Service. All this presented by Freeman Webb. We hadn't even touched on the Titans. You want to even go there? I mean,
Greg, it's amazing. I go 3, 4, 5 days at a time without the Titans crossing my mind. Now, think of the business I'm in, and I've been in it forever, and it's amazing. With all the Pavia news this year, the Vanderbilt news, Tennessee, I wouldn't even think about the Titans till Thursday or Friday, and then I think, who are they playing this week? I mean, they have just fallen off as far as my radar. I don't know about other people.
Well, I think so, too. And, you know, winning begets a lot of that, and losing the other way around. I think they have the quarterback of the future in Cam Ward. I've seen his progress is tangible this season.
Yeah, and we've seen some improvement on the offensive line. I've said all along, fix the offensive line, and it'll take care of so many problems. I'm an offensive line guy, a defensive line guy too, but if you've got a good offensive line, everything else just falls together.
And who do you think they hire? Who would you hire?
Nagy, I think.
Nagy seems to be the obviously the Borgonzi connection there.
Yeah.
From Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a good time for him to get out of there. We don't know what's going to happen going forward with Kelce leaving probably and Mahomes in flux a little bit. So probably a good time for him.
Is McCarthy the safe bet?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be one of those recyclable deals where it's, well, not recyclable for Nagy, I guess, but I'd be surprised if it's not one of those two. And, you know, I don't think Mike's done enough.
Arthur Smith?
Arthur Smith I'd be fine with.
Yeah, I would too.
I would be fine
because
with Arthur Smith.
What happened in Atlanta with him, not all on him.
No,
right?
That's not him. And I just love his story. You know, yeah. Here's a guy that doesn't need to work at all. He could be just coasting and cruising and cruising.
Of course, that people know why that might not know. Fred Smith.
Fred Smith is his father.
Yep, for FedEx.
Yes, and you know there's so many other things he could do, and yet he has chosen to do one of the hardest jobs in the world, because that's a hard job.
And he paid his way all the way up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
position coach.
Dues. Yeah,
yeah. Before
yeah.
he became OC here.
Yeah. And as an OC here, that's where I really became a fan of his, outside of his story. And I just he would be my odds-on favorite. I would, if I was not the favorite to get it, my favorite, I'd like to see him.
I thought he got a little thin skin in Atlanta. If you're never used to being the center
yeah.
of it all.
Yeah.
And, of course, not having success on top of that. Speaking of success, Belmont, Casey Alexander, 12-1 start, probably. And we had Scott Corley, the AD,
yeah.
On here about a month ago, right here.
Scott is so good to talk to about NIL.
Oh, yeah.
He jumped on this early, and he's an expert on NIL.
Yeah. 12-1, Belmont, best start under Casey. I selfishly didn't want them to leave the OVC, want Murray State. I didn't want anybody to leave
right.
the OVC. What, you know, good Lord, Austin Peay, Eastern Kentucky, now Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, yeah.
And it
was a questionable move. I mean, it wasn't at the time to move to a strong basketball conference, Missouri Valley, but after they moved, they didn't have the kind of success, obviously, that they had had in the OVC. So you wonder, did they regret it?
But it's a two-bid league and sometimes three-bid league.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's two every year.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And just where they are in the net.
And Casey has really – he's – I don't want to say embraced yeah. the NIL and the transfer. It's a transfer portal now for this level than anything else. And he says it's a 1-year cycle. If you got a really good player, he's going
to
leave.
Oh yeah,
you.
Well yeah. went to Tennessee, right?
Yeah,
and honored one went to Florida,
North Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he knows you got to catch them coming down. Mm-hmm. And the only thing is, goodness, what's going to happen to high school basketball kids? You know, I mean, I just where are they going to go?
Well, yeah, and you see that football and all of them, they don't
– 5 stars, not even – yeah.
They don't get recruited
yeah.
because, you know, I can plug a hole right now with somebody that's bubbling up.
I have to save my job.
Right.
I have to bring – Diego Pavia, that was the perfect example. You know, Clark was in trouble at Vanderbilt. He was getting on thin ice, and he brought in a guy that saved his job. So – but, yeah, Belmont's good. I've seen Belmont. I saw him play Lipscomb, and Casey's put together a good team. Best start since he replaced Rick Byrd. He's done a good job. That's not easy following a legend. But
he was the obvious choice.
Oh, yeah, there was no doubt about that.
I mean,
yeah.
Phillip Hutchison knew that as soon as he hired Casey Alexander at Belmont, when Rick retired, Casey was moving across town
yeah.
or down the boulevard.
Across the street.
And in Lipscomb, Lenny Acuff, he goes down back sort of home, back down in Alabama
yeah.
to Sanford. Sort of a lateral move, if you will. But, you know, and Hutch loved Phillip Hutchison at Lipscomb. They just seem to have found their niche.
Yeah, yeah. And they lost everybody from that team yeah. that went to the NCAA tournament last year under Lenny, and have done a good job to Kevin Carroll came in from Trevecca, and they put together a good team just since the summer. And that's when you start rebuilding because of the transfer portal when it opens. In football, it's in December, but in basketball, you don't know who you're going to have until summer.
All right, football is quickly MTSU. Now, they've re-upped with Derek. Well, they didn't re-up. They just confirmed that Chris Massaro confirmed that Derek will return.
Chris had to do that,
too. Yeah, they didn't write the call. I agree with that. Nick McDevitt, his program's at the top of Conference USA every year. Now we know what Rick Insel has done with the women's program. They're by their standards down, but they're so young.
They're very
young. The youngest team he's ever had.
Yeah, and they've got good players. They've got good young players. Blair Bogus, the
Macy Pfeiffer,
the 7-footer. Who?
There's a from Spain.
So they'll be back. They'll be fine. And I liked what Rick said when you.
She's not 7. She's 6'10".
Oh, okay. My bad.
But she has a beacon light on top of her head, though.
I was going by the metric system. But after they got blown out by Tennessee early in the season, I liked what Rick said, and he goes, "I'm glad they're not in our conference, because that's all he cares. That's all he cares about is a conference."
Yeah, right now they would pay particular attention all the way through to their net because they're always in the at large if they don't win the conference. You know, at large conversation if they don't win the conference. So this year they just got to be good in March.
Yeah, that's right.
And
they will be.
Think so. All right. We'll take a break, wrap it up with Mike Organ, 101 with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman Webb, right here at Roy's Meat Service on 94.9 The Fan. Got a few more moments with Mike Organ, sports writer of the Tennessee in a long time, 38 years?
40.
Like I said, 40 years. TSS, Tennessee Sports Writer Association Hall of Famer. Fellow Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
I like this. All right, let's go around the horn real quick. Mike Organ, favorite restaurant other than Roy's?
Darfon's.
Darfon's.
Yeah. I gave myself a Christmas present this year. I was given a Darfon's
gift card
and bought about a 12-ounce ribeye, which I had for Christmas Day while everybody else was eating ham and turkey.
Attaboy. Favorite vacation you've taken? Remember this? Remember when we used to?
We used to always go to Destin together.
We would be in Destin or wherever like 3 years in a row, and then we'd just happen upon each other.
It was crazy. You were You were always deep sea fishing. We ran into each other at the bay 1 year down there.
Favorite bucket list trip you want to take that you've never been?
Been to Hawaii. Went to Hawaii with the Vanderbilt men's basketball team.
We were on that trip.
Yeah. You remember that?
In Maui?
Yep. No. Mine was in Honolulu.
Okay. I went to Maui. Yeah.
I went to Honolulu because Jimmy Davey was covering the men at the time, and he didn't want to go
Jimmy had been to Maui. Okay.
Yeah. So,
give me a bucket list trip.
I'd like to go to some of the islands in Central America, one of the, the Bahamas or something like that. I never have done that, and I want to do
that. Favorite athlete?
I've always said Walter Payton. I don't think I can stray from that. He's not done anything over the last, since I said he was my favorite athlete.
If you ever have Jeff Fisher tell the story of him wearing no padding inside of his shoes, and his feet were calloused because of it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, ask Fisher that. Fisher's got some Peyton stories.
Yeah, because he was at the Bears with Peyton. Yep. I interviewed Peyton with Joe Biddle once.
Favorite actor?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy, have you watched Landman?
Yeah, I watched it for the first time last week.
I watched it for the first time last night.
Really?
I'm the first two in. Of course, David Colley.
Yep.
We didn't even get to he was in the Fairgrounds Hall of Fame dinner we were at.
Yep.
Yeah, and with that and perform, he's the sheriff.
And they were hoping Billy Bob was going to come. Yeah. But he didn't. But, yeah, he's the sheriff, and he plays a significant role. He played a pretty good role in the two Landman that I watched.
I've watched the
but
first
I love
two.
Billy. I could watch Billy Bob Thornton read the phone book.
When I think of Billy Bob Thornton, I think of Halle Berry. But, anyway, let's move on. Favorite musician?
Wow. It had to be Paul McCartney, because I'm a huge Beatles fan, and yeah. I got to visit Richard Courtney's Beatles Select Collection.
Yeah, you were telling me about Richard Courtney.
Largest private Beatle mm-hmm. collection in the world, about 6,000 items. And me and Larry Woody and Bob Sherborne visited about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
I got to call Richard Courtney, of course, local realtor here forever and ever. The most favorite interview you've ever done, the one that wowed you the most?
Pete Maravich.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah.
That would be my number one. Pete Maravich is my favorite athlete of all time. Then Robin Yount sort of took over after that.
Pete would be my second favorite athlete, and would be close. Just because I'm such a football guy is why Peyton would be number one. But overall athlete, Pete was just phenomenal, the things he did. But and I got to spend about an hour with Pete.
Well, he averaged like 44 points a game for his career and in college, with no three-point shot.
I think they've done an analytic.
They have, where they've gone on and put
what he would score.
What he had been like 60 a game.
And untouchable. Nobody would ever come close to it.
Favorite story ever done? We got about a minute or so. Favorite story you ever done?
Wow. Off the top of my head, it's hard.
You've only done 14,000 of them.
You know, you're right. I covered Vanderbilt for 10 years, and I did a lot of fun stories there, but bad stories, just sad stories. What Christian Abercrombie at Tennessee State, who was almost died, and then for him
at Vanderbilt. If they weren't next to Vanderbilt Medical Center, he
wouldn't have made it.
He would have died.
He was 5 minutes from the operating table.
Yeah.
And then for him to make a recovery, not 100%, but he's going to live a long, happy life. And for his recovery, that's got to be one of my all-time favorites.
And his mom was amazing through all of that.
Incredible.
The best prep athlete, not what they did after high school, but while they were in high school. I'll go back. I got to cover a long time ago. I was a stringer for the Mobile Press Register in Baldwin County. Emmett Smith at Pensacola Escambia.
Yeah.
I mean.
Penny Hardaway was good. Oh, he was fun to cover. And I only covered him during the state tournament because that's the only time I get to see him play. But I just remember sitting down to talk to him one time in Memphis. I went to Memphis for with Vanderbilt, and he's sitting on the front row. And I thought, I'm going to go over and talk to him and get a little interview for later in the week, do a 10-inch story or something. And I sit down, and he's talking to another guy, and I sit down and say, Penny, I'm Mike Morgan from the Tennessee. Can I talk to you? And Penny looks at the other guy and then looks at me, and the other guy leans over, and it was, can't remember who it was, but it was somebody from Sports Illustrated. He goes, excuse me, I'm doing an interview right now with him.
Your last meal.
My last meal was
no, what not what you had for breakfast. No, know, what will be
what,
your last
what my last meal is.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
One of the tomahawks from here.
Really?
Yeah, I'd love to have a tomahawk from here, or from somewhere other than here, but a tomahawk steak.
Tomahawk ribeye,
yeah. I couldn't think of anything better.
Mike, thanks for stopping by.
Greg, I'll do it anytime.
Yeah.
Especially here.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to check your pants for your tomahawk steak on the way out.
I already checked. It didn't have any in there, I don't think. No, I'm about to ask Jeff Roy about
Well,
that.
Through the weekend, I mean, they've been, you know, obviously the holidays. Anyway, Roy's Meat Service. We do this every Saturday now. I'm going to be doing some assignments. That's going to be coming out here in the next. And as a matter of fact, I'll have that announcement next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Chase McCabe's going to be filling in for me.
Oh, good.
For several times this basketball season. So,
good.
Anyway, hey, thank you. Hey, Brandon Bigsby, great job by you as well. Let's take it out of here. Everybody have a great rest of your weekend. Happy holidays, and see you next Saturday.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.